Welcome, everyone. Both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are in launching a brand new message series titled Tough Questions. Tough Questions. The fact is, I don't know any of us who go through life without asking some tough questions. When I was a child, the questions were pretty interesting. You know, Mom, why is the sky blue? How do trees grow? How do they grow? Right now, they're kind of looking dead, and I just would think they're not going to come back. And then they get green again. What's that about? Where does the sun go at night? The daily paper, the Boston Globe, listed the top 10 unanswerable kid questions. And here's one. I'm 9 years old, and I have a cat that eats regularly and needs to go on a diet. He also eats mice when he's out. How many calories in a mouse? Kid questions, man, they can be tough, can't they? Parents, you know what I'm talking about. As we grow older, the questions do get a little tougher. Mom, why did Grandma die? Why didn't God make me pretty like so-and-so? Why did my parents get a divorce? As we grow into adulthood, they get even tougher. Questions like, why can't I find somebody to love? Or what went wrong with this relationship or my marriage? Or why can't I find direction or satisfaction? And what's the whole point of it all anyway? The truth is, throughout our lives, we have questions. None of us have it easy. We all face struggles. We face difficulties. And those difficulties lead to questions. How come this has happened? And why is my life turning out this way? And God, where are you in the middle of these circumstances? Some of you today are probably wrestling with some major decisions. Questions about maybe your career or vocation, your relationships, marriage, the future, school, direction, your health. You don't know what to do. Questions like, should I stay at this job or look for something else? Do I get this health issue checked out or do I just kind of let it go? Should I pursue this relationship or not? Should I make this move or should I just stay still? The real issues, and even after we make, you know, we have these real questions and then we make decisions, even after prayer and asking God to help, a lot of times we second guess ourselves and we torture ourselves. After we've made the decision by asking the question, well, you know, did I really do the right thing there or not? The Bible says this. The Bible says that God wants you to know His will. God wants you to know His will. He is not playing games with you. He's not playing cat and mouse. He's not playing hide and seek. Not playing guess what's behind, you know, door number three. He wants you to know His will. He wants you and I to know His will. Ephesians 5, 15 and 17 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. God wants you and I to understand His will. He wants us to understand His purpose. He wants us to get the sense of His direction for our life. So how does it happen? How can you and I know God's will? What are some steps? Some people are looking for, you know, they're looking for the easy button. Just show me the easy button, Lord. Looking for God to tell him exactly what to do. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Just tell me, Lord, where to go and I'll go there. They're looking for the easy button, you know, like maybe even an audible voice. Bob, this is God. Get a pen and paper. I am going to tell you what I want you to do. That is, you know, the easy button. And man, I tell you what, I've said, God, if you want to do that in my life, I mean, I'm all about it. I'd love to have that kind of an experience. And you know what? We know from the Bible that, you know, that is not completely out of the question. God did speak to some people that way. He spoke to Moses, remember? From a burning bush, a voice came out of the bush, and then Jesus spoke to the Apostle Paul. A voice that was out of a blinding light. And then prophets like Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel and guys like John, who wrote the book of Revelation, all of them said, you know, I had this vision. I had this vision that came to me. I've always hoped, you know, that maybe God would speak to me in that way with an audible voice or a heavenly vision. But what my experience has been so far is that normally how God speaks to us? My experience is normally not. But I'm open, Lord. I am still open. Instead, you know, God has given us, He's given us some things. First of all, He's given us a brain, and He says, I want you to use that. He's given us free will. He's given us a will and the opportunity to use it. And He says, I want you to exercise that. And if you are a believer in Jesus, He has given you and I the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes down from on high. And He encourages us to let the Holy Spirit of God lead and guide in our lives. You see, the best kept secret about knowing God's will for your life is this. It's really all about a relationship. Knowing God's will begins with a relationship. It begins with your relationship with Almighty God. The promise is that, you know, when we take our little bit of faith, it can be as little as a mustard seed at times, but if we will take that little faith and we will place our trust in Christ, we put our faith, little as it is, in Christ, in Jesus, the Son of God, God says, I will honor that faith. And because of your faith in my Son, I will pour out forgiveness upon your life. I will accept you, and you will experience my power from on high, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're adopted as sons and daughters. We become members of the family of God. And it's all about this one-on-one relationship, this experience with God Almighty that opens up for you and me. When we do that simple thing of saying, God, I'm going to take this faith you've given me, and I'm going to use it to believe in your Son Jesus. And what little I know about Him, what little I am learning about Him, I'm exercising my faith in Him and believing in Him. You can know God's will for your life. It's not a formula. It's not a feeling. It's about a relationship. So let's talk about some steps to knowing God's will. And I would say, first of all, here's one. First of all, admit I need guidance. I don't know about you, but when I was young, now, you young people here on the front rows, I'm guessing this is not your story. But my story, when I was kind of your age, is I kind of felt like I got it all figured out. Don't need no help. My parents, you know, they're trying to tell me about this and that. And, you know, Mom, Dad, love you, but hey, you're kind of a bit old-fashioned, and there's a whole new thing going on, and, you know, I don't need your help. That was me. I'm guessing, I'm sure that's none of you. But that was me at a time when, and I kind of had that attitude for a while. You know, I thought, you might think, you know, you grow out of it. Well, I didn't grow out of it just right away. I kind of stayed in that place. But God has a way. You want to know how God helped me to get beyond that kind of thinking, that kind of, I got it all figured out, I don't need no help kind of thinking? You know what he did? You want to know, girls, what he did back in the day for me, to help me? This is what he did. He took people like you, and he sent girls into my life. He used girls to be a huge means of just kind of helping me to see some things differently. So, you know, they were messengers from God, as I look back on it now, to help me to realize that there were some things that I didn't quite have figured out. Hello? Truth is, in junior high and high school, you know, I was pretty self-confident, pretty cocky, pretty, you know, thought I had it together, because the sports field was a platform that I had fun in, and in school, you know, it came pretty easy to me. But you put me in the context of being with one or two girls, and man, it was God had a way of just helping me to be reminded that, you know, you got this platform over here, but this thing right here, you are a bumbling idiot and you don't know nothing. And many times I'd have to walk away and say, yeah, I know, God, I get it. I think I get it, but then I didn't get it. How many successive experiences did he have to give me before I, you know, God sent girls in my life to help me to realize that I needed help, that I didn't have it all figured out. Since then, other things have come along to remind me that I needed guidance. Decisions about college, where to go, my first job, what to do, then thinking about marriage, who to marry, then children. Oh, Lord, what do we do with these? And then entering into midlife. How should I live the rest of my life? I've come up to this point now. Where do I do? How do I go from here? The truth is, throughout my life, I eventually did learn I do need guidance. I need help from God. Psalm 25:9 says this. Let's read it together. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. I learned to count on that. So the first step to knowing God's will is admitting that we need guidance, and that involves humbling ourselves, doesn't it? Secondly, how can I know God's will? I would say this: ask in faith for direction. For direction. So once we've admitted we need guidance, the next step is to ask for it. To ask for it. Now, I remember as I was thinking about this sermon, a commercial. It's been a few years ago that I remember it now, but it was a commercial about this couple. They'd bought this brand new truck, this family, and they were going down the road in it. And the wife asked the husband, she says, you know, when we bought this truck, did you know that it had all these features with it? And he said, yeah, I knew about that. And then she says, well, did you know that, you know, when we bought this truck, it had an OnStar navigation system with it? And he said, yeah, I think I heard about that. And she asked, well, then why aren't you willing to use it? And it shows him pulling up in the middle of nowhere to this four-way stop, middle of nowhere, and he looks around and he says, you know, I think this looks a little familiar. What is it about guys sometimes that where, you know, we're going to figure it out? Why don't we ask for directions in driving? For the same reason that we find it hard to ask for directions in life. I've got it. I can take care of it. My dad, I remember my dad used to say, I've got radar like a goose. Radar like a goose, you know, and we'd drive around like, I don't know. It was we didn't have no goose radar. Dad, I mean, let's get a map. It would have been great to have had, you know, had the smartphones back in the day. I can take care of it. I got it. I can figure it out. And with enough time and I guess, guys, we say with enough time and gas, we can figure out where we're at. We'll get it figured out. To ask means admitting that we need help. And so often we don't like to do that. But James 1:5 in the Today's Living Translation says this: if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you, for he is always ready to give what? A bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. And he will not resent it, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to tell you. So first of all, we do have to do that. We have to admit it. We have to swallow our pride, and we have to ask God for guidance. And then when we do, we have to believe that he will give it to us. Because get this, God is most pleased when we come to him in faith and we say, God, I do believe that you will guide me. So we ask for faith, in faith for directions. What do we do next? A next thing to do might be to listen for God's response. Now, this is where a lot of us get off track. The honest truth is, today, for so many of us, we are just so busy. Amen? We live in a busy, busy life, a busy world, and we get busy. We don't have time. We think that, so what do? We ask God, and then we rush in, and we don't take time to listen, and we just do whatever we were going to do in the first place. We have to take time to tune in and to listen to what God might be saying. Job 33:14 says this: God does speak, sometimes one way and sometimes another, even though people may not understand it. So God is speaking, but how do we tune in so that we can hear him? How do we tune in? Think about this. There are wireless signals that are all around us all the time. We can't hear them. We can't see them. But if we have a smartphone, we can connect with them. In the same way, God has designed us to be able to tune in and to hear, to connect with his voice. Nothing else in all of creation can connect with Almighty God's voice like you and I. We were designed to hear messages from God. So how do we do it? What are some of the normal channels that God uses? Well, let's talk about that. The one thing I'd say is the primary way God speaks to us is through the Bible. Through the scripture. We believe that the Bible is the inspired. It's inspired of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God breathed. I love that translation. God breathed and useful for training and rebuking and correcting and teaching in righteousness. It reveals truth about God. It contains everything that we need for life and salvation. It reveals truth about ourselves and what we need to understand about God's purpose and plan for all creation. That's why we need to read the scripture regularly. Most of us believe that, but do we do it? One of the complaints about some Christians is that, you know, we don't take our Bibles seriously. What about you? Can people see that you are serious about hearing God's voice by the way that you read your Bible? Do we carve out time during the day or maybe at night? This week I've been reading. I do it in the morning, the early morning with my dog. So we walk the neighborhood. I have the Bible app in my ear and I'm listening. And then often when I get home, I get the real Bible out and I look at it again to hear what's been said. I've been listening to Matthew this week. I read a little bit, think about what I'm reading about and then how it impacts me. I want to encourage all of us to read a little bit from the scripture regularly each day if we can. Make it a habit. Start with the book of the New Testament. A book in the New Testament. And then just go through and then go to the next one and see how it is that God speaks to you as you just read the scripture. How many times have I heard of people who said, I set out to disprove the Bible. So I said, I'm going to read it. I'm going to disprove it. And many, many wonderful people have discovered just by simply reading the scriptures that they found new faith in Christ. Another way that God speaks to us is through teachers. Teachers. people who are teaching us from what this book says. Often God uses others to speak through to us from God's word about what's going on in our lives. It happens on Sunday morning here with our Sunday morning small groups. It happens in midweek classes. It happens, you know, all across the community in support groups. It can happen as God uses gifted and willing teachers to speak to us. So think for a moment. You know, all of us have probably had some particular teachers who really spoke well into our lives. If you got somebody like that, that really spoke God's truth, God's life, today is a day of resources. I mean, you got right now media, you got YouTube, you got all kinds of resources that we can, you know, there's no lack of great teaching that's out there, but often it's, once again, you know, are we availing ourselves of it? Another way that God speaks to us, through circumstances. God most often uses circumstances to lead and to guide in life. God, what door do you want me to go through? Do you want me to go through this door, or do you want me to go to that one? So when I was getting ready to graduate, wondering what my job prospects would be, I had this degree in business, and I said, I'm gonna apply to every company that comes through and speaks to us who's looking for somebody with a degree in business. And so I did on-campus interviews. I got me a new suit, man. They said, you know, get your suit out and have your shoes shine and make sure your tie is right. You got to make a good impression. Man, I was making impressions. I was doing everything that I could. But, you know, none of those interviews resulted in any kind of a job offer. I had friends who were going to work for so-and-so company, and yeah, I'm talking, but none of that opened for me. The only job prospect offer that ever came, there was a church that said, man, we're looking for a business manager down here at First Methodist in Oklahoma City. We want somebody to help us with the business, but we also need somebody to help us, you know, renew this church and help it to become what God wants it to be. And I went down there and I interviewed, and they said, you know, would you be willing to become a Methodist? And I said, well, what's a Methodist? And that began. I didn't know it then. I didn't realize it then. But, you know, as I'm looking at it and as I'm praying, Lord, which, you know, what do you want me to do? We got all these doors that are shut over here. These doors are all shut. They're all shut. Not one of them open. Got my tie on, got my suit, my shoes, all of that. None of that happened. But this door right here, it's opened up. What do you think I should do, Lord? I've come to learn that oftentimes one of the best ways that God speaks to our lives is through circumstances. This door opened up. Well, maybe I ought to step through that one. And so I did. I became a United Methodist. And I learned about John Wesley. And I heard more about the movement called Methodism. And my life became captivated. And within 5 years' time, I'd said, man, I like the business thing, but... And I like the ministry opportunities too, and maybe I should go to seminary, and there we go. God has a way of, you know, leading our lives through circumstances. And how else does he speak to us? Rick Warren says God often speaks to us in the midst of pain. In the midst of pain, he speaks loudest to us. In the midst of pain. I don't know about you, but pain does cause me to tune in more seriously to God. And I would say this, I'm experiencing a lot of pain about the division in our nation these days and about the division in our denomination right now. It's causing me some real pain and some real seeking of God in the midst of all of this. Have you seen God draw you closer to himself, to him, through a painful circumstance? Well, how else? God also speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. Along with the Bible, our teachers, and circumstances, God has given Christ followers the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us to know his will. Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Don't ever forget that you are not alone in this world. Amen? You have the power of God within you. You have the power of the Holy Spirit come from on high. Don't ever forget that. Believe it. On his deathbed, the last thing that John Wesley, the last words that came as he was dying, he said, the best of all, God is with us. God is with us. A fourth step to knowing God's will. Trust God when I don't understand. Sometimes do you feel like, you know, you're doing everything right, and yet things don't make sense. Things, they just don't seem to be happening the way you would think. Sometimes things happen, we just don't understand. Have you ever been there? Well, then what do we do? One of my favorite passages, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, says this, trust in the Lord. Let's read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Bob Buford, in his book Halftime, tells about a decision he made in his mid-40s to put Christ in the center of his life. And after taking stock of his life, he had thought, I've been tremendously successful in business. I've been a Christian from a young age. But you know what? Christ has not been primary in my life. And so upon midlife reflection, he realized that it was time to put Christ first. So he said, that's what I did. And everything was great. But then not long after that, his only son, 24-year-old Ross, drowned in the Rio Grande River. And he thought to himself, while they were searching for Ross's body, this is something you're not going to be able to dream your way out of, or to think your way out of, or to buy your way out of, or to work your way out of. This is something that you can only trust your way out of. He goes on to write, as horrifying and as sad as it was and is to have lost him, Ross's disappearance and death also provided the greatest moments of rare insight and grandest gestures of the immeasurable grace and joy that I ever hope to experience. Utter emptiness and brokenness left me feeling awful and wonderful at the same time. What do you do when you can't comprehend what is happening in your life? What do you do when your life feels like it has been turned just upside down? Bob Buford says, this is something you can only trust your way out of. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. A fifth step toward knowing God's will. Act on what I already know. Act on what I already know. You know, so often in life, we already know what we need to know. You already know a lot of what God wants you to do with your life. So why haven't you done it? The problem is that we don't act on what we know. James 4:17 says this, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. So what do you already know to do but you haven't done yet? What is your next step? Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe there's someone you need to get right with. Maybe there's something you need to stop doing, or maybe you'd say, no, I don't need to stop doing that. There's something I need to start doing. What's your next step? Of course, I'm always wanting to see us grow and be going, moving forward in our discipleship. So let me, as I lead out into this new year, here's a few things that I know you already know to do, but these are the things that will help us in our spirituality, and we talk about them regularly, first of all, and here you are. Make worship a priority in your life. Be in worship as often as you can, unless you're sick or out of town. And practice God's presence with a quiet time of prayer. Try to build something in regular into your life, each day if you can. That's part of God's will for our life. Second thing, join a small group. God wants us to be connected with others. He doesn't want us to do life isolated and separated. So get connected with others in a small group so that you can pray for one another. You can encourage one another. You can study. You can grow together. Get involved in a ministry. That's another thing we know God wants us to do. He's given us gifts. He wants us to use these gifts for His purpose, for His glory, to help somebody else, to be a blessing to somebody else. What kind of a ministry gift, what kind of a ministry can you get involved in? Some are connected here in our church. Sometimes God sends us out into the community, out to do other things. And hallelujah, I have this idea that when we leave here, I mean, we're spreading out all over the community for God and for His good using our gifts. Another thing, give proportionally of your income with generosity being the goal. That's another thing. We know God wants us to learn to be generous. He is so generous toward us and toward His creation, and He wants us to learn to be generous as well. Because we'll be better for it, learning to be a part of a generous giver of our time, our talent, our resources as part of God's will for our lives. Maybe there's other things. Maybe you've been realizing, you know, I need to be baptized. Been thinking about it. I've known that it's something I should do, and we just haven't got it scheduled. Maybe that's something to do. Or maybe you'd say it's time to become a member of this body of Christ. Because God doesn't want us, He wants us to be connected in a family, in a body of Christ. What is it that you already know to do, but you haven't done it yet? Here's something that maybe we need to hear from God today, and that is, just do it. Just do it. Don't delay. Remember this. One of the ways that God speaks to us, helps us to know His will, is when we finally just do what we already know to do. Okay, well, we've talked about a lot of things, and let's go to the Lord in prayer as we wrap up our time, and let's get ready to let God minister among us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, we thank You that as we begin this new year of life together, for helping us to know Your will for our lives. We know that You want to lead us. You want to guide us. You love us. You care for us. You never leave us nor forsake us. So help us to take this next step. Maybe just pray in your heart, Lord, I need Your guidance in my life. I admit it. I ask You for direction. Help me, Lord. Help me to listen. Help me to not be so busy that I can't hear You. But help me to tune in instead, to be connected. And Father, when I don't understand, when I have these questions, help me to trust You. You often have a pathway through the storm that nobody else knows about. Lord, help me to trust, and Lord, help me to do what I already know to do. Because really, in the center of what it means to know Your will, it really is all about this relationship. So it's in Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, Amen.